Please pray with me. And now, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be ever pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. When I first read our assigned passages for today, chapter 4, verse 4, in our reading from James immediately stood out to me, sort of popped. James writes, "You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy to God." It was especially this idea of being an enemy to God that caught my attention. And I had a great sermon planned out for you. It was going to be about the doctrine of the two cities, that is, the city of God and the city of man, and about baptism. And I was going to do some cultural analysis too. It was going to be great. Theological content of the faith kind of stuff, right in my wheelhouse. However, as the Apostle Paul is fond of saying in his epistles, but then God started preaching at me as I started to dig deeper into the assigned readings, and now we are going in a different direction. One that I pray will be just as edifying and challenging to you as it has been for me. Along those lines, I trust you know that Rebecca, the boys and I just got back from a trip to Texas to celebrate my parents' 40th wedding anniversary. And while we were there, we also had Jonah baptized by my dad. It was a great time of fellowship and celebration. That is until the afternoon after Jonah's baptism. Rebecca and I decided that we were in need of coffee, so we borrowed my dad's SUV to venture out while the two older boys took their nap. On the way to our favorite coffee spot, we were in a pretty bad accident when somebody up ahead of us made a last-second decision at 50 miles an hour to turn into a shopping plaza. This, of course, set off a chain reaction that we were at the end of. The collision was bad enough that the airbags deployed and filled the car with smoke, the car shut down and wouldn't start again, and eventually Dad's car was totaled by the insurance company. Bless the Lord, however, Rebecca, Jonah, and I were all fine except for a minor burn on my forearm from the airbags. As I am sure you can imagine, this event dramatically changed the course of our vacation. Now there were new costs accrued and new tasks to be handled in order to take care of the practicalities of an accident. Even though we were technically okay, we were still pretty beat up both physically and emotionally. One of the consequences of totaling Dad's SUV is that we didn't have enough seats to get us all around. So Mom and Dad borrowed a Suburban from Dad's secretary. Guess what happened? He got in an accident. He was backing up to avoid getting hit by their gate when the accelerator caught, meaning Dad had to hit it harder, and then the Suburban lurched back into a tree. This time it was only a bumper and a fender, but still, it was beginning to feel like something was afoot. The next day, Rebecca and I were out driving my mom's car, and Rebecca mentioned she felt like we were under spiritual attack and prayed against it. Just as she finished praying, we were just about sideswiped by somebody making a U-turn. Bless the Lord, the other driver and I saw each other right at the last second and were able to avoid another collision. And the good times kept on rolling when we got home. First, in her haste to get the boys out of the car at the airport while I was shuttling bags to the curb, Rebecca left her new phone in my mom's car. When we got home, we were greeted by a fruit fly infestation that was really gross. And our bathroom sink was clogged. I had the property manager come over to fix the sink the next day, and that turned into a two-day project. So no bathroom sink, at least not one that drained properly. When I went out to start our Nissan, the car that I used to get back and forth from work, it was dead. Not that big of a deal, it just needed to be jumped. However, when I hooked up the jumper cables I borrowed from the neighbor, I didn't realize how small the gauge was, and so instead of starting the car from the van, I melted her cables. They couldn't handle the voltage. I feel like I'm forgetting something, but I think you get the point. I told Rebecca at one point that it felt like we were dying a death of 1,000 paper cuts. It was just like one small thing after another. And the cherry on the top was that on Friday night, the night before I needed to get up and write a sermon on spiritual warfare, the boys were up all night with a cold, which, as you guessed, means I was up all night with them. As the rabbis say, coincidence is not a kosher word. Now that I've spoiled my own punchline, I believe that we were under spiritual attack. Unfortunately, I'm not sure we fully appreciated this fact as we were going through it, though. Rather than confronting it, I let it affect my disposition and distract me from seeking the Lord. Now you may say, Father Tebow, that seems like a stretch. Sometimes cars just die. Batteries die. And you're right, there isn't always a demon behind every tree. However, consider the fact that we live in a fallen universe. Things decay because death has been introduced into the created order through sin. In fact, we might see this original sin as a sort of spiritual attack on all of us. It was Satan who, after his own fall, tempted Adam and Eve to eat the forbidden fruit and thus introduce sin and death into the world. This is why Jesus says in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Satan was a murderer from the beginning. It is also why the Apostle Paul tells us to be of sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Saints, we are caught up in a cosmic battle, and we forget this to our own detriment. Interestingly, C.S. Lewis in his novel, The Screwtape Letters, suggests that getting us to forget that we are in a battle is one of the main objectives of the enemy. If you haven't read it, and I suggest you do, Lewis portrays a young demon, Screwtape, who is in an apprenticeship under an older, wiser demon. Throughout the book, the older demon admonishes Screwtape to keep his human charge distracted. Keep him focused on the future, on his emotions, on material needs, dare I say, on car accidents and fruit fly infestations. If they can accomplish this, if they can distract us from our relationship with the Lord and actively living out our faith, then they can lead us to complacency and to our own demise. Indeed, that we are caught up in the midst of a cosmic battle seems to be at the heart of our three readings today. In the Jeremiah passage, the prophet, who is an agent of the King of Kings, to declare the truth and the word of the Lord, is warned of a plot to kill him, a plot that foreshadows Jesus' trial before Pontius Pilate and Jesus' eventual death and self-sacrifice as the Paschal Lamb. In our gospel reading, Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, who took on human flesh to heal our wounds that were inflicted by the fall and our sin, and to reunite us with God by uniting our human nature and his divine nature, this Jesus predicts his own death and resurrection, the very events that secure his victory over sin and death. In dying the death that is ours, he pays for our sin. In his resurrection from the dead, he conquers death. In his life, death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus wins the war. And let us not miss also that Jesus is teaching his disciples about the life they must live precisely as his disciples. A life that implicates them and us in the war that Christ himself is fighting on our behalf. And finally, our reading from James, amongst other things, makes it clear that there are two camps, those who are friends with God and those who are his enemies. Here's the thing, saints. All of humanity, and indeed all of creation, is caught up in this war, whether we recognize it or not. In fact, the war is over our hearts. On the one side is Satan, who out of his hatred for God desires to destroy those of us who bear the image of God. And on the other side is God, who desires that none should perish, hence his sending of Jesus, his one true Son. Contrary to what our culture says, there is no neutral or secular ground. All of us worship a master. The question is not what do we love or that do we love, but whom do you love? Are you a friend of God or are you his enemy? All of us must choose daily which side we are on. And this is where the distraction in spiritual warfare comes in. If Satan and his cronies can get us caught up in the mundane problems of life, he can distract us. Then he can get us to take our focus off of our walk with the Lord. And if we are not intentional about guarding our hearts and the heart of our children, then we can be blindsided by the traps and temptations of this world. And don't be deceived, saints. As I've just said and I've said before, this world is not neutral. And as Scripture says, Satan is the ruler of this world. But take heart. As I also just said, God in Christ Jesus has already won the war. However, as we await the decisive battle and the return of the King, we have a role to play in this war. So in closing, let me offer a few thoughts on how we might fight it. First, we must secure our defenses. In Romans 12:2, the Apostle Paul tells us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." And in Ephesians 6:14, a passage specifically about spiritual warfare and resisting the devil, he tells us to stand firm, having girded up your loins with the truth. Saints, the world around us is changing quickly. Truths about the world and our place in it that have lasted for 2,000 plus years are under attack. Every day we are bombarded with ideas and concepts that are contrary to the gospel and God's self-revelation in Jesus Christ. If we do not actively seek to train our minds and the minds of our children in the truths of God, we will lose the war for our hearts and our minds. So devote yourselves to studying Scripture. Read books by faithful saints about Scripture, about who God is and what He is doing in the world, what we call theology. Read books about church history and Christian ethics. Know the faith. Know how to live it. If you want suggestions, I have many, as I am sure Father Ward does too. So see one of us. We would love to help. Second, we do not fight this war alone. We need others. The Apostle Paul makes this clear in Romans 12. He tells us that we are members of one body. And just as the human body has different parts that have different functions that are needed, so too do each of us have a different role and function in the body of Christ, the church. We need meaningful community that is able to edify, encourage, and hold us accountable. If I'm honest, one of the places Rebecca and I fell short while we were under attack is we didn't go to those whom we have community with and ask them to stand with us. We need that, saints. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two so that they could stand firm with one another. To this end, we at St. Bart's are in the process of developing a home group ministry that will offer opportunities for community and discipleship. Stay tuned in the coming months for more information on this. Third, we must train our hearts to love the Lord. And I've preached on this recently in the Nicene Creed series. But we must learn who our God is and who we are in Him. Not for the sake of knowing data. That's not why we study Scripture and theology and these other things. It's about relationship. And we do not have relationship unless we know the person we are in relationship with. And so we've been given means to train our hearts to love the person that we're in relationship with. We've been given the liturgy and the sacraments. We've been given spiritual disciplines such as fasting, which teaches our hearts to say no to certain desires and to say yes to the desire for the Lord. As we over time develop these habits in ourselves, then we come to know and love the Lord more fully. If we do not train our hearts to love whom we were created to love, we'll lose him. We'll get distracted. We'll love the God of this world. We'll be friends with this world and thus enemies of God. And as we build our defenses, so too we must also go on the attack, so to speak. But those of us who are disciples of Christ must follow his example. This means that we do not wage war as the kingdom of darkness does. Instead of coming with power, he came humbly as a servant. Indeed, in our gospel passage today, Jesus tells us that if we want to be great, then we must be servants of all, just as he was. It is in loving service to our neighbors that we will win. This service includes seeking justice for the downtrodden and the oppressed. Are we willing to stand for those who cannot stand for themselves, no matter the cost? Are we willing to do it for those who we disagree with or who we might count as our enemies? The scriptures are clear. We are to love even our enemies. In fact, we're probably called to love especially our enemies. As Jesus says, even the world loves those who love them. But you are called to love your enemies. An easy way to do this is to pray for them. We have an opportunity to love and serve those in need on October 13th, when we will be hosting a breakfast for single mothers here at the church. We still need volunteers for help to help in the nursery and with childcare from during the elementary school age. Here is an opportunity to spread the kingdom of God by humbly loving others in need. If you are willing to heed the call, please see Liz Burkett or myself. We are also working to orchestrate a winter clothing drive with the Buffalo YWCA. Stay tuned for more information on that as well. And finally, saints, hear the words of St. Paul in Ephesians 6. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition, that is prayer, for the saints. There is perhaps no greater weapon available to us than prayer. And again, if I'm honest, this is where Rebecca and I dropped the ball. It is in prayer that we are able to stand against and rebuke the agents of the kingdom of darkness. In Jesus' name, those of us who are baptized have his authority to rebuke the kingdom of darkness in his name. We can stand with one another in petition and intercession, standing in the gap between the enemy and between the Lord, and petition the Lord on our friends and neighbors' behalves, asking him to come to their rescue, asking him to send his angels to intercede. We see this all through Scripture, saints. And indeed, we give you plenty of opportunities to pray, to enter into the battle through prayer. Every month, we have prayer for revival. Show up. Be a part of that. Every month, we have prayer for the persecuted church. Show up. Pray for them. Stand in the gap. Fight the battle with them. As Father Ward has challenged us, show up to one prayer service this year. Just one. Heed the call, saints. Be part of the war, or we'll lose it. Do all of this to the glory of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.